The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? What in the world does that verse mean? Well, that's what we're going to find out on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're currently in a series where we're exploring the different meanings of the words saved and salvation in five different New Testament books. Today, we're going to look at Hebrews 1:14. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to take us through this interesting discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob.
Are you ready for another round of discussion on salvation?
Yes, I am. In fact, I think we're moving into the book of Hebrews.
Now, is this the fifth? We're doing a series now on salvation in five New Testament books. And is this the fifth one?
Are we nearing
the end here?
And did you know that the Bible teaches that men are the one who are to make coffee?
Yeah. Yes, I know that.
How is that?
Hebrews. Right? Not Shebrews.
No, it's Hebrews.
Some people would want it to be Shebrews. Do you think they would say, you know, remember that guy who wasn't a politician, he was a chaplain, and he said, "Amen and a woman"?
Yeah,
I wonder if he also reads from the book of Shebrews.
Yeah, I don't know. But why didn't he say, "Amen and a women"? Why would it be "Amen and a women"?
I wonder, did he? I don't know.
He did. He said, "Amen and
so
a
silly.
Woman."
This is all, it's all so. I would say it's silly, but it's like people are really being penalized. They're losing their jobs, losing their careers, losing opportunities for advancement over this ridiculousness.
It seems to me people have gotten a bit carried away. I mean, obviously the Bible uses the word anthropos, which is man, mankind, whatever, generically to refer to all people.
Right. If it's generic, then that's fine.
Now, there is a separate Greek word for males, and that word is used elsewhere. But when the Bible wants to use a general reference, it's anthropos. And we get the term anthropology.
Right.
For the study of man.
Right. I mean, words really matter. I think we're kind of living in a time where people are. I mean, it's weird. In an interesting way, right now, people are saying words really matter, right? And pronouns and stuff like that.
Exactly.
It's weird. We both agree that words matter. But for us, we want the words to correspond to reality.
Exactly.
And they want the words to correspond to something else. I don't know how to put it exactly.
Well, I think they call it identity politics or identity social structure. In other words, what's important is what I identify as.
Right. It's more like this is true because this corresponds to my feelings, even if it does. I don't know. I haven't wrapped my mind around it yet.
But how does that relate to the book of Hebrews?
Well, words.
Words matter.
Salvation. When you read the Bible and you read a word like salvation, you can't make it mean whatever you want it to mean. You have to look at a word in biblical context and try to figure out what it means in that context. And that's what we've been trying to show during this series on salvation.
Right. And when we look at the book of Hebrews, we're going to find out that there are seven uses of the noun salvation, soteria, in Hebrews. And we're going to look at those seven. And I remember the year was 1980, and I was taking my first class. It was my first Greek elective at Dallas Seminary, and it was on the book of Hebrews. And I remember it wasn't long into the class, maybe the second or third class period, where we got to the verse we're going to look at today, Hebrews 1:14, and I was shocked the way the professor explained Hebrews 1:14. So maybe you can read it, but now that I have studied the book of Hebrews, I realize what he was saying made perfect sense.
All right. Hebrews, not Shebrews, Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?
Okay, and who are these ministering spirits?
The angels.
Right. In the previous verse, but which of the angels, as he said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? That's Psalm 110. That's a messianic psalm. It refers to Messiah.
Right.
And Messiah is the one who is going to rule and reign, not the angels.
So he's saying, incidentally, this is a statement that Jesus is not an angel. He's greater than an angel. Some people,
exactly.
Some people in the past thought that maybe Jesus was an angel.
Right.
I think even some people today understand him that way. But
well, what's odd is
might...
sometimes in the Old Testament, when it refers to the angel of the Lord, the New King James will capitalize angel because
right.
they believe it's a reference to Messiah, which I agree. I think the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament often is Messiah.
So he is called an angel sometimes, but...
No, not an angel. He's called
the angel.
Angel.
Sorry, but
yeah.
he's called an angel.
Right. But he's never identified as that category. It's like the word... angel
if I say you're
means
the
messenger.
Dog. Yeah, exactly. So that's the thing. It could just mean messenger.
Right. I mean, there are references to angelos in the New Testament that refer
yeah,
to people.
That are just messengers.
And they're messengers. And Jesus, of course, is God's ultimate messenger. He is God himself.
Yeah.
And he's also the messenger for God the Father.
Right.
He's bringing that message.
But here, this is like a class of being.
Right.
Right. He's not talking about messengers, to which of the messengers has
right.
he ever
no,
said.
He's talking about the class of spirit beings
yeah.
called angels.
Uh-huh.
And in verse 14, he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth, that is from God, to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Well, notice first of all that this is a future salvation. It's not a present salvation.
Something you're going to inherit.
Right. That's another important point. Those who will inherit this soteria, this salvation. So it's important to recognize that this salvation may well not be simply getting into the kingdom or having everlasting life. Obviously, it doesn't refer to having everlasting life because we already have it. Now, you could argue it refers to having the fullness of everlasting life when we're glorified and that sort of thing. Ellingsworth, in his commentary on Hebrews, says regarding soteria in 1:14, the term is never explained, and he says, look also at 2:3, and must be considered traditional.
What does that mean?
And, well, by traditional, he means referring to being born again, being
okay.
saved from eternal condemnation.
Okay.
F.F. Bruce, in his commentary, says, quote, the salvation here spoken of lies in the future. It is yet to be inherited, even if its blessings can already be enjoyed in anticipation. It is that eschatological salvation which, in Paul's words, is nearer to us now than when we first believed, Romans 13:11, or in Peter's words, is ready to be revealed in the last time, 1 Peter 1:5.
So Bruce, this is not being born again. This is something future for him.
Well, yes, but it's still the fullness of being born again. In other words, both Bruce and Ellingsworth say this is something that's true of all believers.
Okay.
Rayburn adds, throughout Hebrews, salvation is viewed in terms of its future consummation, fullness. Its present dimensions are not emphasized since they are not immediately relevant to the author's purpose, which is to call the readers to that persevering faith which alone obtains entrance into the heavenly country. And he cites Hebrews 10:35-39, unquote. Hello? What he's saying is a natural extension of understanding salvation as referring to getting into the kingdom or of having everlasting life and then receiving it fully. He says, which alone obtains entrance to the heavenly country. In other words, what Rayburn is saying is if you do not persevere, as the author of Hebrews is calling for all through the book, then you're not going to get into the kingdom.
For him, it's being saved at all.
Right. And essentially, that's also what Bruce and Ellingsworth are saying. They're saying if you are saved, if you are regenerate, then you will persevere and you will get the consummation of salvation. However, there are contextual clues here and throughout the book that this future salvation does not refer to something every believer gets, but it refers to a reward that only faithful believers get. And you'll notice that Rayburn clearly points out that this is conditional on perseverance.
Right. You would agree with him on that point, that
right.
this salvation is conditional. You need to persevere to get it.
Right. Paul Tanner, in his commentary on Hebrews, in the Grace New Testament commentary, writes, quote, by salvation, our author is thinking not of our Lord's saving work on the cross, but a future salvation associated with his second coming, emphasized in chapter 1. This is quite clear in light of the use of salvation in 9:28, as well as his explicit mention in 2:5 of the world to come, unquote. And he made it clear in his comments on chapter 1 and verse 9 that he considers this future salvation to refer to a person being Christ's companions in the life to come. Why don't you read 1:9 because it helps understand 1:14.
You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions.
Okay, now this is, based on verse 8, a reference to the Son of God. Again, it refers to his throne, and he says he's loved, righteous, hated lawlessness. Therefore, God has anointed him with the oil of gladness more than his companions.
So there are companions in view here.
Right, and the word companions is metakoi in Greek, and it can also be translated partners. And so in the life to come, Jesus is going to obviously be ruling and reigning. He's got the throne, he's ruling and reigning. And some people are going to rule and reign with him.
All right, so this isn't just everybody, kind of like we're all the children of God, or we're all kind of friends of Jesus, or brothers and sisters. We're all part of the family of God equally. This is something different.
Well, that would be my view. That would be Paul Tanner's view.
Right.
And most commentators, however, don't agree with that. Most commentators would say all believers rule and reign and have a full experience of this oil of gladness.
Okay.
But I think what the author of Hebrews is saying, and I think it's pretty clear all through the book, is if you are to be his companions in the life to come, you must persevere. And unless you hold the view that either all genuine believers persevere or you lose everlasting life unless you persevere, unless you hold one of those views, you have to see that the people who are Christ's metakoi, his partners, are a special group of believers, faithful believers, believers who have fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith.
This is a very interesting idea, and let's explore it in the next episode. We're going to continue this series on Hebrews.
All right.
And thanks for listening, and keep on listening, and we're going to continue this discussion. What is a companion? What is a partner of Christ? What is a metakoi? I'm excited to find out more, and I hope you'll keep on listening.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to explore Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.